News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sengupta. Let's have a listen to some of the top stories at this time. India's retail inflation rose close to the central bank's medium-term target of 4% in September for the first time in 14 months, but analysts still predict a sharp economic slowdown will prompt a sixth consecutive interest rate cut in December. Annual retail inflation rose to 3.99% last month, driven by higher food prices, up sharply compared with 3.21% in the previous month. Retail food prices, which make up nearly half of India's inflation basket, increased 5.11% in September from a year earlier, compared with 2.99% in August. Subdued inflation and an economic slowdown have allowed the Reserve Bank of India to cut interest rates by a total of 135 basis points this year, including a 25 basis point cut earlier this month, making it the most aggressive central bank in Asia. The RBI said it expected inflation to stay below its medium-term target through to the early months of the 2020-21 fiscal year, while lowering its economic growth forecast to 6.1% for the current year ending March 2020 from an earlier estimate of 6.9%. Economists said economic growth could fall as low as 5.8%, dragged down by a slump in consumer demand and investment, encouraging the RBI to cut rates for the sixth consecutive time at its next meeting in December. Separately, figures released on Friday showed industrial output shrank 1.1% in August, the worst performance in nearly 7 years. Annual wholesale price-based inflation eased to 0.33% in September, from 1.08% in the previous month. India's unemployment rate was 7.16% in September, compared with 6.47% a year ago and 8.2% in the previous month. Estimates from the Center for Monitoring Indian Economy, a Mumbai-based think tank, showed. The next decision from the RBI's Monetary Policy Committee is due on December 5. And expressing concern over the slowing growth of the Indian economy, Indian-American Nobel laureate Abhijit Banerjee, in an exclusive interview to News 18 sister channel CNBC TV 18, said that the government should make policies which work and not policies which they imagine will work. Banerjee, who on Monday won the 2019 Nobel Economics Prize along with Esther Duflo and Michael Kremer for his work in fighting global poverty, told CNBC TV 18 that the Indian economy is on a shaky ground and the government should do pilots of policy initiatives more carefully. "I think there is always a little bit of a willingness in India to announce a policy because they sound good or they have a political purpose. The general message is you should carefully evaluate them, understand whether the policy works or not, and take it from there. Even now, I think it is not that the policies are evaluated based on accepted criteria and looked at as an option. Pradhan Mantri says it, it happens. That style of thinking is partly what we are resisting," he said. His statement on policy initiatives comes just days after Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman conceded there were flaws in the implementation of the goods and services tax. "It might probably give you difficulties, but I'm sorry, it's the law of the country now," she had said. Banerjee has also been critical of the Narendra Modi government's demonetization exercise previously, telling News18.com in a 2017 interview that he did not understand the logic behind it. Banerjee later also held a press conference at the MIT, where he said that the Indian economy is doing very badly, even as the government is increasingly recognizing that there is a problem. Referring to the numbers put out by the National Sample Survey, which comes out every 1.5 years and gives estimates about the average consumption in urban and rural areas in India, Banerjee said, "The fact that we see in that is that between 2014-15 and 2017-18, that number has slightly gone down. And that's the first time such a thing has happened in many, 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 many years. So that's a very glaring warning sign." There is enormous fight going on in India about which data is right, and the government has a particular view of all data that is inconvenient to it is wrong. But nonetheless, I think that this is something that I think even the government is increasingly recognizing that there is a problem. So the economy is slowing very, very fast. How fast, we don't know. There is this dispute about data, but I think fast, he said. Banerjee added that he does not know exactly what to do. The government has a large deficit, but right now it's sort of at least aiming to please everybody by pretending to hold to some budgetary targets and monetary targets, he said. The 58-year-old Jawaharlal Nehru University alumnus praised some of the government initiatives, saying that NREGA, a UPRS scheme, has been a solid success. The evidence is that majority of income gains from NREGA don't come from NREGA itself, but from the fact that it raises wages because people don't have to work on shift jobs at low wages, and that has been a very big part of poverty, the MIT professor said. He added that the rural roads program has also been effective, as it made it much easier for people to migrate to go where the jobs are. He also appreciated the idea behind the PM Kisan scheme, saying that the idea to move away from support prices towards income transfers was sensible, but the amount is not huge. Under the PM Kisan scheme, farmers are given Rs. 6,000 per annum in 3 installments. The National Institute of Technology in Srinagar will reopen today after remaining closed since the beginning of August. The institute had shut down indefinitely on August 3 when massive troop deployments were made to Kashmir Valley ahead of Parliament's decision to withdraw special status from the state by reading down Article 370 of the Constitution. On August 2, the NIT had issued an indefinite shutdown order, even the local administration denied having issued any instructions upon it to suspend its classes. The institute had issued a notice saying, "This is for the information of all the students of the institute that the classwork for all courses stands suspended till further orders. The above notice stands issued in accordance with the instructions received from the district administration, Srinagar." Schools and colleges in Jammu and Kashmir have reopened gradually after shutdowns following the withdrawal of special status to the state. And Syrian government troops moved into towns and villages in northeastern Syria, including the flashpoint region of Manbij, setting up a potential clash with Turkish-led forces advancing in the area as long-standing alliances in the region begin to shift or crumble following the pullback of US forces. The Syrian military's deployment near the Turkish border came after Syrian Kurdish forces previously allied with the US said they had reached a deal with President Bashar Assad's government to help them fend off Turkey's invasion, now in its sixth day. Assad's return to the region his troops abandoned in 2012 at the height of the Syrian civil war is a turning point in Syria's eight-year internal conflict, giving yet another major boost to his government and its Russian backers, and is likely to endanger, if not altogether crush, the brief experiment in self-rule set up by Syria's Kurds since the conflict began. The rapidly changing situation was set in motion last week when US President Donald Trump ordered American troops in northern Syria to step aside, clearing the way for an attack by Turkey, which regards the Kurdish fighters as terrorists. Since 2014, the Kurds have fought alongside the US in defeating the Islamic State in Syria, and Trump's move was decried at home and abroad as a betrayal of an ally. In the past 5 days, Turkish troops and their allies have pushed into northern towns and villages, clashing with the Kurdish fighters over a stretch of 200 kilometers. The offensive has displaced at least 1,30,000 people. Abandoned in the middle of the battlefield, the Kurds turned to Assad and Russia for protection and announced on Sunday night that Syrian government troops would be deployed in Kurdish-controlled towns and villages along the border to help repel the Turkish advance. Kurdish official Aldar Khalil said in a statement that the aim of the agreement is for Syrian troops to be deployed along the border, except for the area between the towns of Ras Al Ain and Tal Abyad, where Turkish troops are advancing. He added that the autonomous authority will continue to run daily affairs in northeast Syria. Syrian state media broadcasts repeated footage of government forces entering northern towns and villages, with residents chanting slogans in support of Assad, while others rushed to hug the soldiers. In a northern village, residents welcomed the troops by showering them with rice, an Arab gesture of welcome. In another village, dozens of young men rode motorcycles as some waved posters of Assad. The dramatic events are a crushing blow to the dreams of Syria's Kurds, who had built up a degree of autonomy that was unthinkable before the war, when they were an oppressed minority by the Assad family rule. The ethnic group grew from an underdog in Syria to a prestigious group that controls about 30% of Syrian territory, working hand in hand with the Americans to defeat the Islamic State group. A return by Assad's forces to their region is a major shift in Syria's long-running civil war, further cementing Assad's hold over the ravished country. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.